Parsha Shoftim, it says, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. In Parak Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, you have to act with perfection in front of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So Rashi understands this. After the Torah lists the nine things that are terrible acts of magic and tumah that we're not allowed to do, and he says that what this Pasuk means, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, is you have to wait for Hashem to do what needs to be done, never attempt to figure out things on your own, what's going to be in the future, how is this going to happen, and stuff like that. Whatever happens to us, just accept it with innocence and happiness, then we'll be his nation, we'll be happy, and everything's going to be over there. You try to figure out the future, that's when things go wrong. Instead, Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha, and that's that. And the truth is all Gemara Pesachim. Gemara Pesachim Kufyud Gimel Bei says you shouldn't ask stargazers anything at all. The Sifri adds on that you shouldn't make lotteries either. You should not make a lottery to try to figure out what to do, where you have a bunch of things in line and you say, should I do this, should I do that, should I do that, you pick something out. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Birchas Paritz, the stipler, brings a gematria for it. He says, Tamim Tiyem is the gematria of Lo Lachkor Achar Asidus. Do not investigate after the future. Don't worry about the future. The future is for something else. Don't worry about any of that stuff. Just deal with what you have in here, in store for you today. Now, I'm going to act a little non-PC. Nishak says that the other nations have no idea what to do with themselves. See, they see what's going on in the stars up there, and they beg the dead to tell them how to deal with things. They assume that the dead know what's going on. Please, switch everything around. Switch the stars around for me. They're begging them, because they think that they have the power to do so. They don't believe that their own actions are going to do anything. Their own actions aren't going to affect anything at all. They think that they can't do anything at all. Everything's up to something else. It's manipulation, and they have strings attached to them, and they're just puppets. That's how they picture themselves, and they just need to pull the strings in the other direction. That's the life of an Ovid Avodah Zarah. Because if you believe that there's an Avodah Zarah in charge of you, then you believe that you're being manipulated, and that's that. And the truth is, they're technically not wrong. They are being manipulated in a way. They are under the stars and the constellations and what they have out there. We are totally different. We don't worry about these things. We see from God's response to Avram, and this is what he said. Avram said, look in the stars, I'm not supposed to have children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, forget about the stars. I don't care what the stars say. I'm going to take you above, go outside. Say chutz mitzdak minu shoka. Go outside of the astrology. We can daven. We can learn. We can do tshuva. We can literally change our mouth in any direction that we want it to go. That's the shot. We don't need anyone's help. That's the concept, the difference between us and the old day of Avodah Zarah. The truth is, we just have to learn how to accept what Hashem gives us and just put the package on his back. It's a great story. Alinu Shabbat brings a muscle. A poor guy is walking from one place to the other, and he's got a large backpack filled with things that he knows he needs or whatever it is, but it's a really heavy backpack. Soon it starts to rain, cats and dogs. It's pouring rain, and he gets soaked to the skin, and he just can't walk any further. There's no way he's going to do it. So what does he do? He finds the nearest awning, stands under it, and waits for a car to come by. Maybe somebody's going to come by to be able to offer him a ride. He sees a guy, finally, in the distance, coming by, and as the guy comes by, he sees a nice caddy. Very nice Cadillac coming by. Very wealthy guy. He puts out his finger, you know, his thumb. Depends. In Israel, he would be a finger. Here, it would be a thumb. Right? To hitch a ride, and the guy slows down, rolls on his window, and says, it's raining so hard outside. Come inside the car. So he goes in, and he's already soaked. He's got everything down to the, you know, he's obviously like soaked. He goes into the leather seats and everything, and he knows he's ruining the car, and he feels so bad, and he takes his huge backpack and he puts it on his lap. The wealthy man, the guy in the car, turns to him and says, what are you doing? Put the backpack on the ground. You're already soaked and dirty. You don't have to put more soaking wet backpack on your, and that's such a heavy wet pack. There's no reason. You just put it on the bottom of the car. He said, listen, you've already done me such a huge favor by picking me up. It's not like I have to put extra weight in your car. I'll carry the extra weight. I'll take on this backpack for myself, right? There's no need for me to put it in your car. Which man laughs? If my car is going to take you, right, it for sure can take your backpack as well. Your backpack is not going to add on anything crazy to make it happen over here. Don't worry about it. I'll take care of everything. Just put it down in the bottom of the car, and I'll take care of everything. And such a Lina Shabbat, that's the concept of us giving ourselves over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem will take everything. You take your backpack and stop keeping it on yourself. Just calm down. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha means put it down in the bottom of the car. If he's going to take you, and if he's going to lead you in the right direction, he's going to take your peckle as well. He's going to take your package, and everything should be okay. And that's the concept of the Nimshel, says Aleinu Shabbat. That's the first idea of what we're trying to say over here. This Sforno says, although you're allowed to go to a Navi, you can ask the Urim Mitumen, and you can ask the Navi or the Urim Mitumen for information for you, for what you need to do in the decisions in the future, and things like that. So in other words, you can ask God about things in a pressing time. You cannot use any other means or methods of getting a hold of Hashem. See, Rashi is really learning, don't go to anything. Don't worry about it. Just deal with life and accept God for what He's given you, and that's that. But these ideas, the Sforno was saying, you can ask Nevi'im, just don't ask anyone else. You can go to a Navi. The same way that Shaul HaMelech went to Shmuel HaNavi to ask where his donkeys were. He had no idea where the donkeys went, so he went to Shmuel HaNavi. Because you can go to a Navi for that if you really want to. But you can't ask anybody else. You can't go to the other magics or things like that. Rav Schwab says it depends. Rav Schwab says an individual cannot do so. An individual should not try to figure these things out. That's the idea. But Lashon Yachid, Tomim Tiyah, is individually Im Hashem Elokecha. But plural, B'nai Yisrael, if they need something, if they need to figure something out, the Rabbim of B'nai Yisrael can ask the Urim Mitumim or go to a Navi. An individual, though, is told, Tomim Tiyah, Im Hashem Elokecha. Don't worry about it. It'll be taken care of. I'm sorry?
So what do we do nowadays?
I might talk about that. The Stipler said over a story, probably in response to someone begging him for a bracha, I would assume, that there was a couple that constantly went to the Chafetz Chaim. They kept begging the Chafetz Chaim, I need a bracha. Please give me a bracha that we would have children. And the Stipler kept pushing, the Chafetz Chaim, I'm sorry, kept pushing it off. He kept not giving them a bracha. So they went again. He said, Rebbe, we really want a bracha. But again, the Chafetz Chaim wouldn't give them a bracha. He went the third time, and each time the Chafetz Chaim would not give them a bracha. He kept saying, I can't give brachos, I can't give brachos. He wouldn't give them a bracha whatsoever. So finally, the couple came to the Chafetz Chaim. They were crying their eyes out. They were begging the Chafetz Chaim. They're sitting there in tears in front of the Chafetz Chaim. Please, Rebbe, we know you can give it. Give us a bracha for children. And says the Stipler, the Chafetz Chaim finally, he gave in. And he said, fine, you should be benched. You should be benched that you have a child. A year later, they had a baby boy. A few years later, this kid started having real problems. The child started having real issues, started arguing with everybody, even with his parents. Started arguing with his teachers, started arguing with everybody. He became a moser, a guy who was telling people on the government. He became a masis, convincing others to do a avodah zara. He himself obviously converted to another religion. And he was a terrible tsar in the eyes of the parents. And the Stipler said that he knew, from someone who knew the Chafetz Chaim, that the Chafetz Chaim understood, through whatever Ruach HaKodesh the Chafetz Chaim had, whatever it was that the Chafetz Chaim had an ability to do, he knew that this kid was not going to be good for this couple. And the Stipler understood this, whether this is a muscle that he was given, but I feel like it was a little bit true. The Stipler was trying to say, sometimes you have to be Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha. It's time to, yeah, you want a bracha, but if the Gadol is not giving you a bracha, if he's not giving you what you think it is, Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha. Accept that decision as well. Don't push further than what it is. That's part of this mitzvah, Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha, to accept what Hashem has to say and what these great tzaddikim have to say, even though it goes against what you want, what you personally want.
Everything.
It technically is everything, but for now we're dealing with just knowing the future, meaning just in that shot in Rashi or the shot in the Sforno. And it goes further. You might see these things and you see that they seem to work, like a Ouija board maybe, or fortune tellers or horoscope readers. Maybe you've seen these things in the stars, these stargazers, and it seems like everything is working out, like they actually make sense. Maybe you've looked at it once or twice and you saw, like, wow, that really did predict what's going on here. Palm readers, those guys who can, you know, tell a lie, everything like that. Maybe you see that. And the truth is, you might think to yourself, maybe there are easier methods of getting the information that we need to know. After all, we just said, there are no Nevi'im nowadays. We don't have the Urim Mitumim. So maybe there's an easier way of getting around there. Maybe if we feel this information is so important to us, maybe then we should go into it. Says the Rashbam, that's a test. The test is, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing certain things to work. So the Rashbam says, so that we say no. If nothing worked, if horoscopes were never true, if fortune tellers were always wrong, if all these guys were dead wrong in everything they did and it ended up being the opposite, well, no one would have a choice when it came to this. No one would go to a fortune teller because they're never telling the truth anyway. Nobody would call it up.
Because they're desperate, not because they're...
Agreed.
They want something to... Oh, you say that you have natural powers, you guessed right a couple...
Hold on. I agree with you when it comes to certain desperate people. There are many people who see what's happening and love it for themselves. You see it, I don't mean to see it this way, but Mikubalim nowadays. It's not that they believe in Mikubalim necessarily, not everybody does, but people hear or see what these guys are doing and they say, well, I want to get that as well.
Right, but why are they doing that? It's because they...
Not out of desperate, not always.
Maybe desperate is a strong term.
Yeah.
It could be that in one area they really need to know something, so they go.
Very good. It says the Rashbam, that is a test. That's the test. When it comes not to going to a mikubel or a gubel, but going to Ouija boards or the horoscopes or stargazers or palm readers, anything like that, that is a test. Even if they're right, do not go to them. Even if you're desperate, and then I'll say that word, do not go to them. That, says the Rashbam, is the test when it comes to this. The Chassam Sofer says this was Shaul HaMelech's final test. Shaul HaMelech messed up. I shouldn't say messed up. We're talking about Shaul HaMelech. But Shaul HaMelech did something wrong twice. Number one, he didn't kill Amalek. And number two, he acted with impudence by fighting when Shmuel and Avi are starting to wage a war, bringing up the korbanos before Shmuel and Avi came to him. Twice, he had messed up in that fashion. He was losing his kingdom without a question. But nothing had been mechayiv in death until he went to the Balas Ov. He wanted to figure out what's going to be. And the pasuk says, he went to the Urim Tum and the Urim Tum wouldn't answer for him. He went to the Nevi'im wouldn't answer for him. He asked for a dream to tell him what to do. The dream wouldn't answer him. He had no idea what to do with the Pelishtim. David HaMelech had already defected, so to speak, to the Pelishti side. He was honestly afraid that he was going to be killed and send a nation into being killed. What should he do? Should he give in to the Pelishtim? Should he make a peace treaty with them? Should he fight them? Should he wait for them to come to him? He had no idea what to do. So in desperation, he chose a Balas Ov. He went to a Gedola, this was the mother of Avner, and went to her and said, I have no other choice. I went to Nevi'im, I went to Ruach, I did everything else. I have no choice but to go to you. And his last desperate attempt was to go to a Balas Ov, because he said, yes, it's Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha, but it's Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha if you can get your methods of getting everything from another way. If you can get it through Nevuah or in the tumor or something like that. If you can't get it through there, then maybe we should go through the magics. Maybe we should go to these people's help. That's how Shaul HaMelech held. It was wrong. And Shmuel HaNavi told him he was wrong for doing so. And that was the final straw that caused him to lose it. That's when Shmuel HaNavi told him, you're going to die tomorrow. That's what's going to be. Baruch Hashem, he didn't lose his Olam Haba over it. He did something that was usher, but he still went to Olam Haba. But that was the idea of what Shaul HaMelech paskined. He paskined that, yeah, Tumim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha up until a point. And we hold, says Rashbam, that we can't do it that way. The Orach Chaim learns it a bit like a promise. It's sort of like a promise. If you don't do any of the things above, you don't go around to all these magics, forget about trying to find the future, etc., then the promise is, you will be Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha. You'll be perfect with Hashem. Hashem will deal with you well. Everything will work out well. Look what happened to Avraham Avinu. That's the promise. It's a promise. It's a haftacha. You do this, then Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha. Not that Tamim Tiyim is an extra mitzvah. It's the guarantee that comes after you doing the right thing. But the Ramban says differently, and this gets into a little bit of an issue, really halachic issue. The Ramban says that the mitzvah is only to concentrate on what Hashem wants us to do and believe that what He truly knows is everything. As only He knows what's going to be, only He's going to be able to figure it out. If you need something about the future, as we said, the mitzvah is to go to the Nevi'im, the Urim, the Tumim, or even Chassidim, He calls it. But we shouldn't ask stargazers and magic workers. Instead, even if they tell us something, a magic worker or a stargazer tells us something, we should say Akobi Deshamayim. Doesn't mean anything. That's the mitzvah. And he says it's a real mitzvah saseh. He adds it onto the minyan mitzvahs, into the 613. Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha is don't go to those guys, rather to go to a Navi or the Urim B'Tum or whatever it is. Yeah.
How am I going to them?
That, from the Ramban, from the wording, it seems yes.
Or listening to that?
No. We're going to see it's going to them. We're going to see the Tosfos in Shabbos, and we'll see this Gemara in Shabbos soon, isn't said, it's not necessarily a mitzvah, but it's just a good thing. Don't ask, but if they tell you something, then you can certainly listen and act accordingly. That's how Tosfos puts it. So the Ramban puts it as a mitzvah. Tosfos says it's just smart eitzah, smart thing. Don't ask, but you can listen if they tell you. And the Rambam, he definitely takes it out. It's not a mitzvah at all. He says like this, the Malbim says, the reason why is because he considers this to be more of a promise than a command, similar to the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. It's more of like, this is what's going to happen to you if you go through. You'll get closer to God if you don't listen to that garbage. That's what he says. But in fact, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Ches, he says clearly that saying over the lies, he calls them shkarim, that you see in the stars of the sky, in horoscopes, and all of those types of things, if you see them up there, would be over on Me'onin. There is no mitzvah of Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. But it's over on Me'onin. Me'onin is one of the nine magics that are mentioned earlier. If you do something or go somewhere which corresponds to your horoscope or to something that a stargazer tells you, if you listen to it in any which way, you're over on Me'onin. You're Chayiv on this Isser that we mentioned above. Chimamish says that not only is it not Tamim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, it doesn't have any Sheikhs this. He says it is Usser to listen to them if they tell you to do something. It would be Usser to do. That's how the Rambam passes Allah. Now it makes sense. Because the Rambam held that all of this was fake. Everything was fake. And if he held that all of this wasn't real in the first place, then obviously listening to them would be an Isser. That would be something that would be wrong. That's the concept behind it. But you got the Ramban saying it's a mitzvah to stay away, but you can listen to them. You have Tosis that's not a mitzvah, right? But nonetheless, you can listen to them. And then you have the Rambam that seems to say something totally different. It is an Isser Aseh, an Isser Lav of Ma'onin to do any of these things.
Is it the same thing with Kabbalah?
I'm sorry?
Is it the same thing that people do Kabbalah?
Mikubalan?
Yeah, Mikubalan.
Let's get into that. Hold on. Give me a second on that. It's a good question on the other. On the other hand, there are times when clearly the Tanaim and Amorayim listen to stargazers. Okay, now I'm using the wording of the Gemara. Rashi doesn't say this in Shabbos, but everywhere else he says it. In Pesachim Kufi Gimel and Mabezi says it, and it's brought down by every other Rishon aside from Rashi, and people ask on Rashi all the time. But they mention the Kaldoi, Chof Lamed Dalid Aleph Yud, through three Gemaras that I found. I'm sure there are others and I'm just forgetting them. But three Gemaras I found, there are Kaldoi. It seems the Kaldoi are Chozim B'Kochavim. They are the ones who see into the stars. Okay? These are the three Gemaras. And you probably heard of these Gemaras before. In Brachos Samach Dalar Alf, it's the last Amud of Brachos. Rav Yosef refused to become Rosh Hashiva. He refused. In Pumbedisa, he refused to become Rosh Hashiva. Why? Because the Kaldoi told him, the stargazers told him, that once he became Rosh Hashiva, he would only be Rosh Hashiva for 2.5 years and then he would die. So instead, he let Rabbah become Rosh Hashiva. Rabbah became Rosh Hashiva first for 22 years. Then Rav Yosef couldn't push it off any further. Rav Yosef became Rosh Hashiva and he died 2.5 years later. That's what the Gemara says.
How did the Rambam answer
that? I have no idea. Literally, I looked up as much as I could for this. I have no idea how he answers that Gemara. The truth is, the Frankel Rambam, I think, might have had something that answers it up, and I couldn't find the Sefer that he mentions. But I have no, I absolutely no idea. So that's number one. I'm sorry?
How does Rambam answer Moshe Rabbeinu? The people, the stargazer said, oh, there's a voice going to take over the whole nation.
That's okay, because those were Egyptians. Yeah, I hear it. I'm going with the Gemaras themselves to deal with Tanoim and Amorayim. The Egyptian people could listen to whatever stargazers they want. I'm okay with that. That's true, but they could have lucked into it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay with that, per se. I'm saying, like, Tanoim and Amorayim are listening to it. I've got another one. In Shabbos Kupnun Vavam Abeis, Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, his mother said that he would be, from the Kaldoi, the Kaldoyim told her that her son was going to be a ganav. So what did he do? What did she do? This is where we learned this halakha from. She covered his head. What we know of as a kippah, but back then was really like a hood, like the Baba Sali used to wear. She covered his head so that he wouldn't be able to see anything, and he always had his head down. One day, the thing came off, and he looked up, and he saw a date tree, and he jumped up, and he bit it off the tree, right, and took it with his own mouth, where he was there. That's from Nachman Bar Yitzchak. When Nachman Bar Yitzchak's mother listened to the Kaldoyim and did something because of the Kaldoyim. So if Yosef not accepting the Rosh Hashiva business, okay, you can answer that up in a way. Where Nachman Bar Yitzchak's mother knew what the Kaldoyim were saying and did something because of it. And not only that, now you have a third Gemara. You have Rabbi Akiva. It's there in Kupnun Bavon Beis and Shabbos. Rabbi Akiva was told by the stargazers that his daughter would die on her wedding night. That's what he was told. And that night, he expected her to die. He was worried the whole time, always yorei, that this was going to be. And on that night, everybody knows the story, right? She took her brooch and she put it inside a hole, and there was a snake in there, and she killed the snake. And he asked her what happened, and she said, I gave money the last night during the wedding. Nobody was paying attention to a certain homeless person, a poor person. So I gave the poor person food. So therefore, tzedakah tatzil mimavis. Tzedakah saves you from death. Now, Rabbi Akiva didn't do anything because of it. It's not like he told his daughter, don't get married ever, because you might die, right? That's not what he said. As a side note, by the way, I think that daughter was Shulamis, and I think that daughter married Ben Azai, and Ben Azai divorced her right afterward, because Ben Azai never wanted to be married. I think that was the daughter that ended up being over there. I'm not positive that it's so. I don't know if there was another daughter of Rabbi Akiva, but there was one that we know of named Shulamis, mentioned by the Yerushalmi, and we know that one of his daughters married Ben Azai from the Gemara and Ksuvis, because I'm thinking that it's the same person. You're putting these stories together. Regardless, clearly community cared about the stargazers. We have three people, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok, and Rabbi Yosef, or Rabbi Nachman Yitzchok's mother, and Rabbi Yosef, who clearly cared about stargazers. Why is that much of a
question? I mean, he didn't take any action. He said, okay, go ahead and get married.
But in the end, he said, Siddaka Tatsu Mimavis, from this case. Meaning, he, Mamish thought that there was Misa involved. There was going to be Misa. Who's the, just because you put a brooch in the snake, who says the snake's going to kill him?
Right, but maybe that was his, you could interpret his
I understand,
thing,
but yeah.
Oh,
I understand. Rabbi Akiva is not exactly the same, but it is clearly that Kaldoy told them to do. Now, I might be forgetting another Gemara, and you're going to have to forgive me for this. I remember these three. I don't remember any others that dealt with Kaldoyim and a rabbi listening
to them.
Is
there a Gemara that says that somebody can't seek him out, but if somebody hears something, you take precaution from them?
So, it's similar to that. That's what we're going to say over here. Yechiel, what were you going
to
say?
No, just saying it's similar to what he was saying about like Rabbi Akiva, who said, basically, I mean, like, he didn't actually do anything. He could have just been a coincidence. It's a crazy coincidence, he thought.
Right, but it does say that he was afraid. It says the words in the Gemara. I didn't quote the Gemara itself. But the Gemara says he was afraid of what was going to be. And he took it to heart, even though he didn't do anything about it. But you're right. Rav Nachman Yitzchok's mother is probably the one. So there's even a Gra. The Gra says about Rav Yosef that the Malachim caused this to happen. The Malachim knew that Rav Yosef was going to die if he became Rosh Shiva, and Rav Yosef was planning on becoming Rosh Shiva. It's even a Gemara in Horius. And if anybody knows, on the very, very last Amud of Horius, and Yudal and Aleph, it mentions who should be Rosh Shiva, Rav Yosef or Rabba, who's greater, the Okir Harim or the Sinai? And the Gemara ends up saying Sinai, which is Rav Yosef. The Rav Yosef should have become Rosh Shiva, but the Malachim knew that Rav Yosef is going to become Rosh Shiva, and then he was going to die 2.5 years later. This is what the Gra says. Just remember, it's the Vilna Gaon. And he said, since they knew it was going to happen, they made it happen that stargazers were talking before Rav Yosef, telling Rav Yosef that he would die so that he wouldn't be Rosh Yeshiva and Rabba would be Rosh Yeshiva instead and he would live for longer. Meaning, not only did the Malachim were choshesh for what the stargazers saw, according to this Gra, but they made it happen and they knew that Rav Yosef would listen to them if he heard what they had to say. That's the Pella, it's a Vilna Gaon that says that.
The Malachim were choshesh for what the stargazers said. The Malachim knew and therefore made the stargazers say what.
But that means that the stars were correct and the stargazers were correct. You know what I'm saying? That means in the Malachim were masking that it's 100% true. That's strange. In the Sefer, there's a Sefer Chadoshim Gam Yeshanim on Brachos. Chadoshim Gam Yeshanim on Brachos. He learns from here that you should worry about mazel. That you do have to worry about mazel. Only tzaddikim don't have to worry about mazel. And Rav Yosef was such an anav. Rav Yosef, if everybody knows the Gemara in Sotah, he says, don't say anava to Ika anav, because I'm around and I'm a big anav. So clearly he was a big anav. So Rav Yosef, right, he was an anav. He felt he wasn't a big tzaddik, so therefore, because of that, right, said he felt he wasn't a tzaddik, so he had to worry about mazel. That's what the Kadosh and Gam Yishana
said. What did he do? The Gemara says there's no mazel for Kadosh.
No what?
No mazel for Kadosh.
For tzaddikim. Tzaddikim.
The Gemara didn't specify Jesus.
And mazel Yisrael. So you have to be worthy of the name Yisrael in order to get it. Right? That would be Tzadikim. That's what the Kadosh Gam Yishanu says. Sefer Parshas Mordechai said, this is a great answer to the Parshas Mordechai. He never really wanted to be Rosh Shiva in the first place. But his family was like, but you're very poor. If you become Rosh Shiva, you'll become wealthy. So why don't you become Rosh Shiva? So he said, nope, I have an excuse. If I become Rosh Shiva, I'm going to die. So he convinced his family that he wouldn't be Rosh Shiva because he saw in the stars that he was going to die. From all these answers, though, and the Eder Eliyahu says, and this is what you were saying, Eliyahu, the only Isser, I'm sorry, Bayamin, this is yours, the only Isser is to go to them. But if they tell you something on their own, you're allowed to be choshesh for it.
But it is a drama, though.
Oh, and that's that. Not only that, the Tshuvas HaRamban, the Miyuchsim, there's Tshuvas where we think it's the Ramban, but we're not sure. But in number 283, he says, you can't ask them anything. This is the Ramban from before. You can't ask them anything. But you can hear what they have to say, and you can even believe in it as we see from the Gemara. And he says, sometimes a Kadosh Baruch Hu does a miracle that is mevatel the power of the stars, which, and it, you'd call that a nes nister, a hidden miracle, but you can't rely on that. So never ask them anything. But if you find out that a certain day is bad to do something, you could be choshesh for that. And the Ramah in Kuf Pei Tes, Yoredei Kuf Pei Tes, says you shouldn't ask, but you can't rely on miracles either. So if you think something's going to happen, you better go into that. So what does the Rambam say with the Gemara? So I have no idea how the Rambam's going to answer it up. At the end of the day, the Ramban makes sense to me. Tosfos makes sense to me. These other answers make sense to me. The Gra makes sense to me. It means, and here's the Psak. The Psak would be from all of them. It would be, you can listen to them if they tell you something, but don't seek them out. That would be the halacha, and that's what Tamim Tiyim Hashem Elokecha is. You can listen, you can be close. Choshesh. Do not go to them to try to find out an answer. That, to me, makes a lot of sense. I would say that that makes sense. But the Rambam says you can't even listen to them if they tell you something. I think the Gemaras are serious to that. I don't understand that Rambam entirely. That's going to take a little bit more work. Yeah.
With the Nachman between them, I mean, for argument, you could have to say that horoscopes in the newspaper are correct. But...
No, that's not an Afkamina, because they could still be fake. And that wouldn't mean anything at all.
But I'm saying, now, let's, for example, let's say it's correct. That would be where the Afkamina would be between the Rambam and the rest of them.
Yes. Can you read a horoscope in a newspaper? Yeah, that would be the difference.
Can you read it and act on it?
The Ramban still wouldn't... Yeah, I guess so. If it's saying something bad about you, the Ramban would say you could be Choshesh. You're right. Yeah, you'd be able to do that. Yes,
Cecil. Just so you could answer at least the first one and the last one. The first one you say, like, I think you said...
I don't remember the first one and the last one.
But Rav Yosef, if you just say, well, he wasn't really Choshesh. He didn't want to become Rosh Shiva because he didn't want to be Rosh Shiva. And his family wanted him to become richer. But
I know. No. It's a bit of a chiddush in the Gemara. Because the Gemara clearly says that that's what... He didn't become Rosh Shiva because of the Kaldoi. So to say that in the Gemara is just a takeoff from what the Gemara is trying to say. The whole point of the Gemara is just that. That the Kaldoi told him, so he didn't take it. It's kind of missing the whole point of the Gemara, if that's shy. I guess the Rambam could do that. Maybe the Rambam didn't have the gears of Kaldoi. I don't know. You could say that. And the same thing with Rabbi Akiva. I don't know. It's just strange.
If he really was Choshesh, he
would have... I hear you. It's just strange. To me, it seems strange. It seems that the Rambam is getting it from somewhere else. And I just don't know where it is.
Unless Rabbi Akiva helped you.
Yeah, that's for sure a problem. And I will tell you, the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, he brings down something else entirely. The Chidah asks, so why are we allowed to do Gorol Hagro? I said before from the Sifri, you can't do Gorolos. What's a Gorol? A Gorol is like doing a lottery to figure something out. Put a bunch of things in, what should I do? And you just like the magic eight ball, you know what I'm talking about? Like every day you get the answer and you do exactly like that. He says you can't do Gorolos like that. So he says, what about Gorol Hagro? Are you allowed to do Gorol Hagro? Now the Birkei Yosef, the Chidah, wouldn't have called it the Gorol Hagro. He just calls it Gorolos, using the Sefer Torah. Can you take out a Sefer Torah, ask a question, and then find a random pasuk and deal with that? However you want to do the Gorol Hagro. There's a bunch of different ways of doing it. Can you do it or not? And it seems you can. In your day, he answers, the reason why is because you can use a Chumash to figure something out. We don't have Nevi'im, we don't have the Urim V'Tumim, but we have a Chumash. You can use a Chumash to figure things out, and that's not called an issue of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. In his mind, that's the way of being able to go through. I would think that the Rambam would have a problem with that as well, but he said that, and that would also answer Mekubalim. Can you go to a Mekubal? If the Mekubal is using Darchei Torah, and I guess you'd have to be careful that he is using Darchei Torah, if he's using his powers of whatever that he might know from somewhere, you got to be careful, but if he's Darchei Torah, if he's going through Darchei Torah, says the Chidah, then you're relying on Hashem. That's okay. That's still within. The Griz, the Briska Rav, was once asked if he was with Rabbi Yitzchak Zev Soloveitchik from Eretz Yisrael. He was asked if he ever did the Goral. And he said, one time I did it, and it brought him to the Pasuk of Tamim Tiyem Hashem Elokecha. So he never did it ever again. He said, I would never do it ever again. But that's a stira, because there was a famous story of the Griz using the Goral Agra to leave Europe. So there's a famous story about that, where it said, you should go to Eretz Yisrael. He went to Avram Avinu's Pasuk of that you should go out of Eretz Yisrael. Go to Eretz Yisrael. Lech Lecho, one of those. I forgot what the Pasuk is exactly. That's a famous thing with the Griz. Do people use the Goral Agra? People use it. Should you use the Goral Agra? The Rambam would say, certainly not. I would think the Rambam would say, certainly not. But it seems on the Ramban, right, and from the way that he does learning, you could. Maybe not the greatest thing. Maybe an issue of Tamim Tiyem in a little bit of a way, but it seems like that. Now, I'm skipping the Chizkuni right over here and how to learn, but there's a Chizkuni over here, and that's Tosefes Bracha from Baruch Epstein that learns Tamim Tiyem in a different way, but I'm going to go a little bit further. The Rabbeinu Yonah in Shari Tshuva in Gimel Yitzayin says this pasuk refers to having full bitachon in Hashem. Tamim Tiyem Hashem Lekecha is trust in whatever God does, that it's for the best, and it has nothing to do with Zchuyos. Nothing to do with Zchuyos. Even if you're a person who doesn't always do the right thing, you trust in Hashem that everything's going to work out, then you're promised great brachos and great things. That's the idea behind it. Here's the idea. Be tamim in your belief that God is with you. Tamim tiyeh. You should be tamim that you're im Hashem Elokecha, that God still loves you, and then everything will work out. That's how the Rabbeinu Yonah and Shari Tshuva understands it. the Kedushas. Levi says it as well. Trust that you are a child of your father. That your father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will do anything for you. And anything he's doing is for your best. If you do it in that way, then you're Im Hashem Elokecha. That's the Hasidish way of going through. It's not often that you'll see a Hasidish work with Rabbeinu Yonah, and they're the exact same thing. So you should probably say Shechianu here. But the Me'ash Yiloach says the exact same thing. The Ishbitzer, the exact same thing. Look for the beauty of Hashem. Enjoy the life that he gives you, and Hashem will give you back. He'll make sure that it works out. Ramosha, yeah.
Well, that's where I came to you earlier today about stuff and
winning the lottery.
Not just winning the lottery to give tons of tzedakah.
My brother will tell you many times. Yeah, I will never. I don't have the winning lottery tickets.
No,
but should you? That's the question. That literally is tamin tiyim Hashem lokecha. Should you be tamin? If you're tamin, then you accept it. If you're going to win, you're going to win on your own. You know what I did? A little bit of ishtadlus. Here's my ishtadlus. Now putting this down, so you know that if this happens, my wife got a thing from Publishers Clearing House. You know what Publishers Clearing House is, right? That they'll think you will win. You know all those, right? So I filled it out. I said, what difference does it make? I've got 3 extra minutes in my life, right? I could stop my movie for, put it on pause for a little bit, and write up the Publisher's Clearinghouse thing. No. So this is what I did. So I did the publisher, I did the whole thing, and I sent it in. What happens? 3 weeks later, they send you another thing. Here, that's where they tried to send you a big package, and they send you all the little things of like, if you buy this, and you buy that, whatever it is, then you get that. But you don't have to buy in order to win. I read all the fine print, read everything there. You don't have to buy anything. There was nothing I wanted. I really wanted one of those slicers that are like really sharp and it has something on the back, like a peeler on the back. I was like, that's cool. But I didn't order anything because I got a hold of my Yitzhar and I said, I don't want to pay $2.99 for 4 months straight for a little peeler. So I decided I wasn't going to do that. So instead, I just sent the whole thing in. Again, you have to find all the, it's so hard. They hide stickers. They're brilliant, these people. They hide stickers underneath all the ads for all the things. So this didn't take me 3 minutes. I had to pause my movie for about 17 minutes to be able to finish this off. I was so upset. I lost track. I had to go back to the beginning of the movie. I was very angry. Okay, I didn't watch the movie. But in regard, I'm like sitting there and I'm pulling these stickers out and I'm putting them in the right place and I did it. I fulfilled my kindergarten obligation and I filled everything out and I brought it back. So they said that I'm automatically a winner if I give it back. I don't know what I win. I have absolutely no idea. But if anybody hears about somebody winning Publishers Clearinghouse and it's Tzvi Zimmerman, it's because Tumim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha, but I did my Yishtadlus. That's that. Now, do I really need the amount of money that they're going to give me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Did I promise that I would give it all to tzedakah, right, if I win? Absolutely not. Because I know myself, right? Am I going to give 10%? I'm telling you, I'm giving you as my edim. Yes, I will give 10%. You're going to have to push me on it. No, you don't understand. Like, once I get it, I'm going to be there and be like, no, but if I save it, then I'll have more money for later to give to tzedakah. You see, like, why wouldn't I get the interest and use that for tzedakah? Isn't that brilliant? Why would I give the money now and lose that? The aniyim, they're the ones who really need me to do this. They're the ones who are begging me to put it in my savings account, and I'll give it to them later. I think that happens to everyone.
Yeah, you get the interest, and then you do that, and you save.
Exactly. When I get the interest, I'll say to myself, but this is really not what I need. And taxes took so much. See, that's the pshat. The pshat is that coming to you, should you go for these things? Should you go out there? Coming to you will tell you, you don't need it. It'll happen on its own. Coming to you. So you have a little bit, you're a little bit felt in coming to you. So you do a little bit of Yishtadlus. Don't do anything crazy. Do you want to buy a lottery ticket? 100%. But if you really want $85 million, I don't think HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you $85 million. Go buy a $20 lottery ticket at 7-Eleven. Hope for the, you know, $20,000 or something like that. What?
Someone's got to win that lottery.
The guy lives in Kentucky or Kansas or Missouri. You know, the guys who, like, really, the people who you know 5 years later will be on that TV show that's just like, what happened to all my money? Like, that's what that guy's going to be. It's going to be a different world.
Now, do
you need $100 million?
After cash out, it's like 70.
Oh, forget. Yeah, you can use that. You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, what's the difference? If you want the money, yeah, you're not going to do it. I don't mean to say it's you. No one's going to do that. And Haraya, there are people with $70 million. They're doing what they can. It's a big kaiva. You don't want to be a rich guy. You don't want to be that rich guy. It's just that. Why not?
Yeah.
Ask them. That's all you got to do. Go up to them and ask them. That's it. Reb Moshe says a dover gobble. A dover gobble. And this is a really big dover gobble. He said, I would assume this is probably one of the most controversial things that Reb Moshe ever said. I would assume it's pretty crazy when it comes out, aside from the halakha that it comes with Kol of Yisrael, etc. But the idea is, you should never give up hope for something which is absolutely necessary, even if you don't have the funds to fulfill the dream. So he gives an example. You want to found a yeshiva in an area that desperately needs a yeshiva? Do it, even though you don't have the money. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will guarantee that it'll get you the money for that yeshiva. That's crazy. Meaning, you tell that you say it to a yeshiva that was starting in 1965, right? Well, you don't have the funds. Just do it, because we need yeshivas. You say it nowadays, there are 800 yeshivas in Lakewood. So would that apply to us nowadays?
Not if you want to see
Lakewood. Agreed. But even if you can't see it in the future card, so to speak, don't give up. Make the yeshiva. God guarantees the funds will be there. That's what Moshe says. He gives another example. A young man who wants to leave his studies in yeshiva in order to get a profession. He wants to go to college. Says Reb Moshe, don't worry about such a thing until you're chayiv to do so. What does that mean, you're chayiv to do so? You're now ready to support your wife and kids. Meaning, you should be in kollel until you have a wife and kids and you're not making it, then go to college. Then go find a professional. That's what Moshe is saying. That is that is one way of saying it. But he says there is no need to start studying anything until that time. You don't need it. It's enough to do so when you really need the job and rely on a Kaddish Baruch that's going to be there. That is a crazy line. Now again, that's a level of bitachon, a huge level of bitachon, but it's still there.
You should be convinced to get around because we know that you just conduct them. God guarantees you don't.
That's a different idea. Yeah, that's 100%. When it comes to something like that.
Not giving money to seduction.
Yeah, there's no question that would be there. Now, we have a lot on the last page. I don't know if I'm going to be able to say everything over here, but I'm going to tell you over the famous word that's mentioned by Tom T.M. Hashem Lekech, which is famous. Everybody knows it. You've all heard it before, but it's such an unbelievable line. So the Gross said it, Reb Nathan Adler, the Chanukah Zatara, the Nitzitzeh Shimshon, they all said the exact same thing. When Esav was known as an Isho Deatzai Ish Sada, Esav knew how to trap the Ish Sada. He was a man of the field, right? So they all say that the Ish Sada is a reference to the Adnei Sada. It's a creature mentioned in Kilayim Parchas Mishnehei. That is a creature that is, according to many of the Meforshim, Bartimura included, it's a creature that was human-like in form, but with an animal, and attached by its belly button to the ground, to a gourd, in other words, and it got its food from the ground, and was very dangerous. You went anywhere near it, it was going to tear you apart. So what should you do? How do you get away from this thing? You have to shoot arrows at its belly button. If you shoot arrows and you kill that little thing, then all of a sudden, it's fine. It's docile, or it dies, or whatever happens to it. That's what ends up happening. We have no idea what this creature is, if it ever existed, or anything like this. It's kind of a crazy creature that's attached to a plant. But anyway, that's what he calls it over here. They said all that. Esav was the one who was able to get it, and he took the bone from that creature, from the Adnei Sada, and he used it. Okay, I'm not judging anyone here, but I am judging Esav. He took the bone and put it underneath his tongue and was able to talk to the dead with it. That's called Yidoni. Ov Yidoni, that is Yidoni. He's able to talk to the dead. He went to Yitzchak Avinu and told him all about the future. Based on what he was doing with the Yidoni bone, he was able to tell him everything about the future, what's going to be in the future. He was able to do that. That was Yidoni. When Yaakov Avinu was asked by Yitzchak Avinu, do you know anything about this? He was silent. He didn't care about the future. He was an Ish Tum. So while Esav was an Ish Tzayid, Ish Sada, a man who knew how to trap the Ish Sada, used the Adnei Sada to do the magic of Yidoni in order to know the future, when he would do that, Yaakov Avinu was an Ish Tum. Tumim Tiyam Hashem Elokecha. He wouldn't get involved in those magics and refused to find out about the future. So even though Yitzchak Avinu looked at Esav and said, this guy's a Tam HaKochem who has Ruach HaKodesh. He knows everything about the future. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, said, I don't need it. He was coming to him, Hashem Elokecha. That's the concept that he learned from over here, and that's what he got from over here. I'm going to end. Oh, man, there's such good stuff with the Chafetz Chaim. If you want to read this Chafetz Chaim over here, I think it's an awesome, awesome board over here with the muscle that he brings over here with the wealthy man, etc. That's an awesome one. But I'll end with this. The Bala Twin points out that in some Chumashim, the tough of Tamim Tiyah Neshama Lekecha, the tuf is extra large. We don't have it in our Chumashim. It doesn't appear in our Chumashim. We don't have an extra large tuf. But there are extra large tufs in some Chumashim. And he explains, the reason why is because if you do this correctly, it'll be as if you accomplished the whole Torah from Aleph to Tuf. That's what he says. You accomplish the whole Torah by doing Tamim Tiyah Neshama Lekecha. Rav Chaim Paltiel says that the large tuf refers to the 400 prakim of Avodah Zarah that Avraham Avinu had in his Gemara Avodah Zarah. We only have 5 prakim of Avodah Zarah. He had 400 Prakim Avodah Zarah. Because he knew all the different magics and everything like that. If you're careful to stay away from those 400 Prakim, that's Tamim Tiyah with a big tough, you stay away, then you're Zocha to be Tamim. The Chidah says that if a person Chasham sins for 400 days straight, he says, he's pushed away from Kiddusha. If you're Tamim for 400 days straight, you're guaranteed a Chelek in Olam Haba. That's what he says. That's how he goes through. Somehow, I don't know how that's going to be, but we're going to end with this. The Rabbeinu Ephraim says, Tamim Tiyah is same gematria as Tishrei. 910 altogether. He says, when it comes to this month, start perfecting yourself. Start dealing with your deeds. Tamim Tiyah is perfect to start off Tishrei. To be able to work at that time, now's the time to start going through. And I guess I'll, you know, the Vision of Tzareva says, Techakem Masai Yavo Mashiach. The Rosh HaTevis are Tamim. Techakem Masai Yavo Mashiach. That's another way of looking at Tamim. To be able to think in that vein. So what do we do over here? We went through Rashi's Pshat in the Pasuk. We gave a mushroom with the Aleinu L'Shabbat. We did the Sforno and the Stipler story altogether. There's the Or HaChaim HaKadosh. There's the Ramban, Tosfos, the Rambam. The differences between them. How the Gra understood those Gemaras that we have. The Ramban as well. How they go through the Rabbeinu Yonah about Bitachon, the Kedushas Levi, the Me'ashiloach, Rav Moshe, and how to apply this in a certain way. We skipped the Chafetz Chaim. We went into all those other things about the Ish Sodan, Esau versus Yaakov, and then the different Ramazim of the extra big tough. Go ahead, guys. Have a great Shabbat.